The reading that we had today was from Deuteronomy chapter 31. And in that reading, Moses was approaching the end of his life. The time of his departure from this world was coming to be. And understandably, the children of Israel would be nervous. He's been their leader at this point in time for basically 40 years or more. He's faced down Pharaoh. He led them out of slavery. He's the one who talked with God. He's the one who brought Israel their laws from God. Moses has been the core. Moses has been the center of everything. What do you do when such a leader is gone? And Moses reminded the Israelites that he was working for God. The things that he did was not because of him, but for the God he was working for. Because after all, and he reminds them, he's 120 years old. He's getting frail. In fact, what he said in verse 31, he says, I'm no longer able to come and go. He can't move like he used to do. He would go before them to the other side, but God's going to go with them to the other side of Jordan. God was going to lead them. God's not a frail human. God would last for all eternity. And Joshua would follow after God, leading the Israelites. In verse 3 says, it is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will dispossess them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the Lord has spoken. And God has helped them before. That's what Moses reminds them. Israel knew what God was capable of doing. In verse 4, the Lord it will do to them just as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. But it required that those Israelites follow God. God's going to go ahead, but it's not going to do them any good if they don't follow God in the direction he's going. They have to do what God said. In verse 5, the Lord will deliver them up to you before you, and you shall do to them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. And basically, Moses said, there is no need to fear when God is helping. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. And when Moses called to Joshua and to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you will go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. God had to repeatedly remind Israel that he was there, that he was available, that he was going to be with them. He told Joshua, if you go to Joshua chapter 1, and in verse 5, in Joshua 1 and verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Now, life is going to be very hard for Joshua. I don't know how many of you ever thought about, hey, you suddenly put in charge of a great nation, and oh, by the way, you're going to lead war. People are going to die. You got to make the right decisions. But God's telling Joshua, I will be there to help you. Much, much later, a man named Korah, who was one of the singers of Israel, not to be mistaken for the Korah who led a rebellion, but in Psalms chapter 46, Excuse me. Psalms 46, starting at verse 1. He said, "The Lord, or God, is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make a glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold." We can accomplish so much, not because of our own strength, but because God is there. David mentioned in Psalm 37 in verse 23, he said, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and his delight is in his way. When he fails, he will not be, or when he falls, he will not be hurled headlong. Because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his descendants begging bread. All day long he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. Depart from evil and do good, so that you may abide forever. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked will be cut off." God will be with the righteous. God will help. David says, "I've seen this all my life. I've never seen the righteous forsaken by God." Now, it doesn't mean they don't face troubles, but God's holding the righteous' hand. There's still trouble, but it's not going to be nearly as bad as without God. We got to understand, God's chosen us. God has decided to make us his people, just like he decided to make the Israelites his people. And in Isaiah 43, he says, "Thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Sheba as your in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I loved you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. And I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made." Now I want you to notice this. God redeems Israel. That's why he was saying there, he paid the price with other nations so that Israel might survive. It's because he chose them. But I want you to notice as it continues on that God is saying that he's chosen us as well. And so he won't reject us. In fact, let's go back to Isaiah 41. Sorry, I put my notes in the other order. Isaiah 41, and look at verse 8. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, descendant of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from the remotest parts, to say to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who are angry at you will be ashamed and dishonored. Those who contend with you will be as nothing and will perish. You will seek those who quarrel with you and will not find them. Those who war with you as nothing and non-existent. For I am the Lord your God who upholds your right hand, who says, do not fear, I will help you. God picked us. God picked the Israelites. He said, don't fear, because I will take care of you. But even in this passage and in the one we just read before then, Isaiah 43, notice that God says, I'm going to call from distant lands all who will respond to my name. He's talking about the Gentiles as well. He's not talking just about the Jews. God will be with all his people. And when there are too weak, God says that he'll even carry us. Take a look at Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63 and verse 7. I shall make mention of the loving kindness of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has granted them according to his compassion and according to the abundance of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, sons who will not deal falsely. So he became their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. And in his love and in his mercy he redeemed them. He lifted them and carried them all the days of old. And that's what God is promising for us as well. God will be with us. In fact, you know, when Jesus was born, he was given a name. It's not used that often. But right at the beginning of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated means God with us. God came into this world to be with us. He came into his own creation. And during that time that Jesus taught and ministered, he told his disciples in Matthew 18 and verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be in their midst. Wherever his people gather, Jesus promised to be there. And just before he left this earth, bookending Matthew, starting with God being with us, ending with this promise as well. In Matthew chapter 28, and start in verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Even to this day, where people gather in Christ's name, he's there. He's with us today. He has been with us and will continue to be with us. See, life isn't always easy. The writer of Hebrews mentions the difficulties that Christians face in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 32. But remember the former days when after being enlightened you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Life has not been easy for Christians. They've been persecuted. Their property has been seized. They were thrown in jail. And those difficulties were wearing on Christians. Part of the reason why this letter was written is because it was getting hard to bear those burdens. But notice in verse 35, "Therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that you will have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Yet for a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. My righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith in the preserving of the soul." It had gotten to the point where the Christians were looking at it and saying, you know what, it was easier being a Jew. And thinking about going back to Judaism. But they had to endure. Earlier in Hebrews chapter 3, and in verse 12, he says, "Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, so long as it's still called a day, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end." He goes through and points out all sorts of examples of people who had endured difficulties. In fact, there's a list that we talk about the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. But one of the points that he makes is that these people endured hardships, did what they did, and while receiving promises, they didn't get the answers in their lifetime. But look at Hebrews 11, verse 39. "All these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God has provided something better for us, so that apart from them, they would not be made perfect." Those promises come with us. And one of the great promises that God has made is repeated here in Hebrews 13. Look at verse 5. "Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?" God is there. God will help. Life may get really rough, but God is holding our hand. And he said this even after proving that God always keeps his word. Go back to Hebrews chapter 6. And in verse 17. "In the same way, God desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have a strong encouragement to take hold of the hope that's set before us." God has shown that he keeps his word. God has promised, I will not forsake you. And what God has promised, we have to be willing to believe that he is able to perform. In Romans chapter 4, Romans 4 and verse 19, "Without becoming weak in faith," talking about Abraham, "he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was this written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom will be credited as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. We have to understand, God promised. We have to believe God performs. And so when we are tempted, and we all face temptations through our lives, God is there. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 10 and in verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you, but which is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape, so that you will be able to endure it. God is keeping his promise. Well, I could face a whole lot more difficult temptation. I don't want them. But why am I not getting those overwhelming ones? Because God doesn't want me overwhelmed. God is keeping his promise. And when life goes sour and things go wrong, God is still there. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19, therefore those who are suffering according to the will of God, who suffer according to the will of God, shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. We trust that God will do what's right. We trust in God by showing that we do what's right. And that's one thing we got to understand. All the effort's not on God's side. God wants us to do what's right. God is not going to uphold and protect those who are going against his very nature. And so, like for instance, in the Old Testament, Asa was warned in 2 Chronicles 15, and starting with verse 1, now the Spirit of God came up on Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. God is there, but it's not because I deserve it. But God does require that I be faithful to him. Just like Moses warned the Israelites, you got to do what I commanded, because these are the things that the Lord commanded. God is there to hold me and protect me and be with me through all the hardships. But I have to remain faithful. And we're warned the same thing. Again, go back to Hebrews chapter 10. We read this before, but let's read it again. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Excuse me. Hebrews 10 and verse 38. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. God doesn't do all the work, and we just drift into heaven. God is faithful to those who are faithful to him. And the thing we need to think about this day is, where are our loyalties? Are we faithful to what I want? Do I let the world dictate what I do? Or do I put my trust in God, who is able to protect me and save me? If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brother on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.